The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
What do you know about how to get beyond your mundane everyday thoughts? Do you understand how our thoughts create our reality in a real and practical way? Do you desire tools to help you live from another space, full of freedom and liberation from self-imposed limitation? You can create whatever it is you desire. Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to receive clear information, tools, and healing presented by Allison and her guests to help you better know what else is possible.
Hello, welcome. Oh, I'm so happy for what we're going to be doing today. If you're one of the listeners who listens in the last bit of work time and then you get in your car and commute, you want to come back in and listen to the later part of it because this is going to be a full hour. And my sense of it is that the magic is going to just expand as the hour, as we go further into the hour. So I am aware that when I work with people, all of it is about choice. They're choosing to have more, whether it's come out of the cancer diagnosis or get over the cancer or get support through the chemotherapy and radiation or get support. One of my clients just passed as soon as we hit midnight on Good Friday. My melanoma stage 4 client, I do not want to say his name on air, just passed. And it's all amazing, the degrees of what we do in our lives and what our choices. We can say, oh, God up in the sky, why is this happening to me again? Or what have I done wrong? If we have that idea of a punishing God, and that puts us in an unempowered position to actually recognize how much our choice, I mean, what are we given? Y'all, really, what are we given that an animal isn't given? It's that human will thing, and human will is the ability to choose. And so I see people either choosing chaos or choosing ease, and it can come down to that. As simple as, do I choose to have more for myself? And can we do it without struggle? Can we do it without a breast lump diagnosis? Can we do it just because we want more for ourselves? And so if you don't believe in this whole other level to life, that's what the show is about today. Yes, it's about the power of choice, to show you through stories of three different people who are on the show joining me today as my guest, to show you what, when they choose yes, what the ripple effect becomes and the power that's available to us and support to choose yes on the planet now is phenomenal. My life too. However, it's also a challenge to communicate to people that even if you're having a good life and everything is flowing along well and you're happy and you get to do the things that you want to do and you have a good family and a good, your employment situation is great and funds are great and health is great and vitality is great, there's this whole other level to life that's a challenge to communicate to people who aren't aware of it. That's what today's show is about. Through example, to let you sense and feel experientially how much easier, how much vibrant life can be. So what do those words mean that introduce the show? This is it. How do we work with our everyday thoughts to actually create our best lives ever? What else is possible? So it's hard through words. It's a challenge to show people what else is possible. So we're going to hear it through stories of people's lives and examples today. So I am so grateful to have all of you here. Happy Good Friday. Happy Resurrection. Happy Rising from the Fire of the Phoenix symbology. So we have on air with us today, we have three different guests who I am so happy to be with. And I don't normally do this. Hey, I normally have national and international speakers and guests on my show. This is the first local show I've done since my third show last year when I first started. And it's because these guys, their story, it's two women and one man just have rocked my world. Our meeting was magical and you'll hear more about it. Joseph Siciliano is one of the guests. Miraja Siciliano, his wife, is another guest. And Miriam Pickett is the third guest. So come on in. Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Hey there.
Hi.
Marianne, you with us, hon?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Welcome, y'all, three of you. Okay, so I think that are in agreement, it feels right to have Joseph hop on in. Joseph, you were talking about being raised in a very fundamentalist background, and then you watched as you increasingly embraced your fundamentalist background, the questioning that arose within your being that made you feel off with what you were doing, following what your family's path had been. And you got involved in a certain line of employment, and you saw it fall away as this new path for you emerged, as you started to listen more and more to these seeming breakthroughs of ideas that came through. And there was one idea seemed crazy, second idea seemed kind of crazy, third idea seemed, okay, a little less crazy, but still questioning. And then at some point when you had a less level of questioning, but there was still questioning, your job, your previous employment just dropped off. I don't want to call it a job, it was a business. And then you've emerged into this whole different successful line. Is that, you want to come on in and fill in the details?
Yeah, yes, definitely. For me, definitely, I was on a path and I had a business and was pursuing that, like you said. But eventually, things changed. And it wasn't necessarily that the economy changed or anything like that. I mean, those are the obvious things that have gone on, but this was a literal, I had to start creating these tools to help people with healing naturally in sculpting crystals and actually giving people a real tangible means of extending their intention and being able to give them that ability or to satisfy that part of the mind that requires that permission. And, these tools are just a way to do that. But it was a very dramatic for me, a very dramatic change. It was something that came on very suddenly. And I felt the inspiration, and I just ran with it for the first, let's say, 3 to 5 days. And then the reality side kind of jumped back at me, and I thought to myself, like, what am I doing? I'm making tools out of crystals? Like, this is crazy. So it was a big back and forth for over a month, like a month to 3 month period. But fortunately, the universe did step in and essentially just kind of knocked my business out from underneath me. And I lost a lot of motivation in pursuing, my old path that I had been on for roughly 8 years in business. And I was pushed very lovingly, but sometimes a little harder than others, into this new line of thinking or this new way of doing. And the more I found now that, the more I embrace it, the easier it is, the more it flows.
Yes.
And as long as I commit to it and I do say, yes to it and ask the universe to, please, to give me more, and just try and stay in that path, the universe answers. It gives right back. And not like, oh, let me ask and then wait for it, and let's hope it shows up in the next 30 days. I mean, I can ask and I can get a response the next day. I mean, I'll get an order the next day and the day after that and the day after that. I mean, it's just amazing when you work with it. It really wants to work with you.
Ask and you shall receive. It is, it's totally immediate. That's what I've been seeing too. Joseph, what about the story with the woodpecker handled selenite wand, which is the picture on this show's page, y'all? There's Joseph's picture, and the wand is right next to it. What's the story with that?
That was one of my recent tools that I made. I was contacted by a young woman, and she asked me simply to make her a tool, to make a wand for her. All I asked was her name, and I did ask her birthday so I could get some type of general idea, based off of the zodiac sign, like, what type of person she may be. And I went to a meditation in our backyard at our house, and about 10 minutes in, a woodpecker flew into the tree right above my head and just started squawking, going crazy. And I looked up at him and I said, I see you. Like, I acknowledged him.
Yeah.
And I just tried to stay in that zone. And I was burning some sage and some sweet grass and just kind of relaxing and letting it come. So I did complete my meditation after about 30 minutes, and I went out front and started looking through different woods and chose the wood that I felt would be the best for her. And the entire process of working on this woodpecker one was sculpting a raw piece of wood with no drawing, no preconceived idea, no request from a customer, just strictly being in that moment and watching it unfold, you know, right there in real time, and basically following with what felt the best about it. And after about 2 hours, it ended up looking like this woodpecker. It had a very hard beak and this shape of two wings. And I could see where, you know, this blade, this selenite blade, would need to go and be set into it. As I worked on her piece for about 2 weeks until it was completed, every time I would go outside and do a little bit of Qigong, do a little bit of meditation, and then go sculpting on it, I would have woodpeckers show up at our house. And it got so intense that at one point, there were four different species of woodpecker at our house at one time. And I don't just mean like four individual birds. I mean, we actually had three pileated woodpeckers
Wow.
on a tree. Then there were red-headed woodpeckers on another tree. These really small woodpeckers, which I was mistaken. I thought they were babies at the time. They ended up being another species. And then a fourth that had kind of a yellow color underneath its wing. So for me, it was very powerful and very obvious. And I've been very blessed to have that type of influence and nature just showing up and kind of giving me that answer of, yes, you're doing the right thing. Yes, you're on the right path.
Yes. An interactive universe is what you're describing.
Very, very interactive. And I'll just sum it up at the end. I did send her the wand, and the day she received it, she said that there was actually a woodpecker on her mailbox at her house when she went out to get the mail. And she said that she hadn't seen one for a while, which kind of stuck out to her. And then she acknowledged it as well. She ended up opening up the package and looking at the wand, and when she went outside, she said the woodpecker had been kind of waiting there. She acknowledged it again and said thank you, and it flew away. So it sounds far-fetched to some people.
No.
I'm sure. It sounds like a great bedtime story, but the more I've agreed to it and the more I've paid attention to it, the more it happens, and it happens on a consistent daily basis now.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's beautiful. It is magical. I mean, there's no other word to put to it than just, you know, the universe is magic, and it's beautiful.
And it grows and grows until we're actually living from that space in body.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's what else is possible? Miraja, what?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Can you add on in with your story?
Well, with my story, you know, I
They're married, by the way, y'all. This is Joseph and Miraja. They're a team.
Well, I had been diagnosed with systematic lupus. And I was in a period of degrading health, and I was going – I had a very similar background to Joe's, and I always embraced the concept of energy and the concept of alternative medicine, but I had no idea of how to go about you know, finding the information that I needed. I had heard about yoga and never tried. I didn't even know where to go at that point for that. And, you know, I had gone through this process to the point of I eventually found out that I had to have open heart surgery. Now, the amazing part about this is that I actually am an artist, and I had been painting how I was feeling. And I had been painting these paintings where it was almost like these half-dead figures pointing at their chest, and there'd be a hole in the chest, or the figure would be holding the heart in the hand, and I would, you know, I would try to explain that this is how I'm feeling, but it, you know, it didn't make sense because I had been painting this for 6 years and had no concept that I had a heart condition. So, you know, eventually I had open heart surgery. And from that, you know, there's all these different beliefs about, you know, karma or this or that or the other, but whatever happened from having this open heart surgery, it helped me to just look at my life in another way, to be able to look at my life and embrace, you know, my path, my authentic self. You know, there was parts of me that had wanted to conform to a certain extent so that I could be with my loved ones and not have to worry about like any kind of relationships ending or this or that. And, you know, I had worried about it, and this completely helped open my eyes to just acknowledge myself and who I was and be able to move forward. And, you know, I as soon as the universe knows you're ready, it provides. And, you know, I had this open heart surgery, and, you know, soon after, it was almost like the universe was like, here's yoga. And from yoga, you know, I had gone there and I progressed, and then there was like, here's acupuncture. And from that, it slowly went to this more metaphysical space. You know, it helped me to be able to progress. And from that, my artwork also progressed. I began, you know, I've always been a person who dreams. I've always been a person who listens to their intuition. And once I actually acknowledged a lot of it, you know, not only to myself, but, you know, to others, it started to really pick up. It's kind of like what Joe is saying, that, you know, once you acknowledge it and it becomes a part of your life, it just continues. It keeps happening.
And grows.
Yes.
You live from there.
Exactly. And it's just amazing because you know, I came from this place where I was painting these very, you know, let's, for lack of better terms, very morbid scenes. And now I'm painting very metaphysical, very, a lot of goddesses. And it's very healing, you know. I've always been a person who believes that, you know, if you're going to have a piece of art in your home, it's going to reflect upon you. You know, you're going to wake up, you're going to see it every day. It's going to be a part of your life, and have it be something that you want to emanate because it's going to be in your consciousness. And so I feel so blessed I'm in a space now that I can actually be able to, in my mind, tap into this energy and be able to portray emanations of, you know, whatever it is, whether it's this love or this compassion or whatever you want to entitle the different goddesses as.
So if you want to see some of her goddess paintings, you can go to, she's the second website listed in the show description, and you can see what she's talking about right on her website. Joseph and Miraja, do you feel like you can intertwine yourselves in a way to tell the story of our meeting in the blue Tara and the wand making that I'm sitting here holding?
Yes.
Sure.
Give it a shot. It's so magical. It's so brilliant.
Do you mind if I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So basically, I was doing a photography event on a Saturday, which is one of my many professions. But I was doing this photo event. There were 18 people already booked to just have a simple headshot taken, different practitioners. And we had a cancellation. And at the last minute, I was told, oh, you have another person coming up who's going to be your last shoot for the day, which ended up being you, Allison. So anyways, we meet, and, you know, I was talking with everybody at the beginning to feel them out, but I felt that something was a little bit different about your story, and that's why I didn't start photographing you while we were talking. I just listened, and I think I listened to you for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then tried to, you know, take photos, but the entire time I'm trying to process this experience. And just pay attention to it. And I knew that we were on the same page to some degree. I sensed that there was this commonality in a relationship there. So anyways, after we finished, I know we talked for what seemed like a forever, because I like to talk. We left. We went to go get some food on the way home. I had been taking pictures since 9 o'clock in the morning till 6:30 that night. I hadn't even had a lunch break. I worked straight through. We got food, came home, my wife sat down to eat, and I kept saying sculpt in my head. I kept saying the word sculpt over and over and over, and I was irritating myself, and I actually I got so frustrated. I was like, okay, all right. So I picked up a set of Oracle cards, and I said, you know, you want to give me a straightforward answer right now? Here we go. So I shuffled the cards, and I was cranky and tired, and when I went to shuffle, my left hand was trembling. I mean, shaking, trembling so bad when I would try and shuffle the deck. And it really shocked me. It really kind of caught me off guard. I haven't had that much of a physical response before. So I did end up shuffling the cards and drew two cards from the deck. And one of them was the Merlin card for energy healing. And the second card was for yoga, which the thing that resonates most with that card for me is the breathing techniques, because although I don't practice yoga on a daily basis, I will constantly meditate and practice the breathing techniques while I'm sculpting. It's something that I found very important to me. So I put my food down. I didn't even eat dinner. I walked right outside. I sorted through about 30 different pieces of selenite that I have, and I found one piece. It stuck out to me. It was very odd shape. And
Joseph, hold on 1 second. Backing up a second. The card, there was the third card that fell out of the deck.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
No worries.
When I shuffled the deck, I hadn't even gotten through the real shuffle, and a card flipped out of the deck, and it was the goddess Nada, or Lady Nada, which the card represented mother, sister, wife, daughter. Basically, I'm reading the description, and one of the options was that it you'd made a new important female connection in your life, and there was importance to this relationship. And immediately, the first person who came to mind was Allison, because it just had been such an impactful meeting. So I did. I pulled the yoga card, the energy healing card, went outside, sorted through the pieces, and I began sculpting that piece. And one important detail we left out too is that you asked for a tool. I don't just make tools offhand and then try and give them to people. When someone creates that intention or that desire for the tool, there's just something that happens. It just kicks, and it literally inspires me, pushes me forward. So I'm sculpting this tool, and pieces of stone are just crumbling and falling off of it. I normally take anywhere from an hour to 2 hours to rough the shape of a wand out. I had that tool shaped in 20 minutes, and I was already on to polishing it. And I completed the entire thing in probably less than an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 15 minutes. It was so fluid and so straightforward. It was beautiful. So that's when I contacted you, and we got together on the following day. I don't know. Miraja, do you want to tell the meeting story?
That's fine.
Let me just intercept for a second here as people are trying to digest, please, the hugeness of this. Because on my end, I had two other potential photographers to work with. My publicist and executive producer of this radio show suggested I get that waist up, not just – I have the headshot, but that I needed a waist up shot. I had two other photographers I had been looking at working with. And when I saw the email from the Atman Center talking about you being there, I had never heard of you. I didn't know who you were. I had a big, strong go, and there was no question in my mind, and I went. So it was a big, strong yes for me from the beginning. I mean, and I just did it.
So we ended up meeting the next day at the Starbucks. Sorry, didn't mean to plug them. But
independent coffee houses here.
Right.
Miraja added in this whole other element that showed this the magic in the universe with its dip or pool of information that if we're tapped into it, it just continues to grow the beauty and that what we want to say is magic, but in fact it's not. It's just the way things really are, but our minds cover that up. So there's like in Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst, the student of Freud, called it the collective unconscious, where there's this pool of information and we all pull from it and we're all connected too. So Miraja comes on in with her goddess information and painting that was coming to her mind during that meeting. You want to come on in?
Yes. What I had noticed when Joe had made the crystal wand was that it had resembled this piece that I actually had painted into a blue Tara goddess painting that I had done. And when we're sitting here and we're talking to you, Allison, you had this very specific energy, and it reminded me so much of the blue Tara. And we had begun talking, and so I asked Allison about, you know, have you ever done any research with the blue Tara or Tara in general? And as we're talking, we decided to pull up the painting from my website to just, you know, show her what the tool looked like that I had drawn, you know, months ago. And it was just amazing to me as an artist, and just as a, like, I think it'd be amazing to anybody who'd be sitting there at that moment, yeah, just looking at this.
It's exact.
It's, you know, and when Allison looked at it, when you looked at it, it was, you automatically were just like, that's my energy, you know, just from looking at this piece from the face. And, you know, I had done a lot of research on it too. So it was like, you know, just from what it's emanating. And, you know, I would have to say that from where I'm sitting, from this experience, you know, I don't think there's too many people that would look at that painting and say, that's my energy, who would claim that, because it's a very specific energy. And for somebody to be able to look at it and to connect on that level is just amazing to me. It's amazing. And that's just part of the magic of, like, what's going on.
Yeah. And I, with Tara, with what's going on personally in my life, living in India and then for most of the time in Taiwan, in researching the goddesses, and Tara being the goddess of Buddhism, you had presented to me, both of you, remember, were presenting different ideas about what Tara represented to me, and it was totally new for me. So then I went and did my research about the differences. I used to always burn green Tara incense. I got it at a Buddhist store in Taiwan. And I was familiar with Tara, but not with the different colored Taras. And I go and I look it up, and it's absolutely, so the sword that you created for me, Joseph, and the blue Tara, Miraja, that you called my attention to, and in my face, the face on that blue Tara painting is my energy. It's look at me, I'm stuttering. I can't speak. Yeah, it's just profound. And from my own personal journey with what I have been integrating from my time in Asia since I've been back here, and related to a very personal relationship, the tool of this here selenite sword that is exactly the same as what's in Blue Tara's hand that you painted months before we ever met and before this wand or tool was ever made is so personally related to what I need to use the sword for in my life personally. And then once I'm complete with that, moving it into my practice with my clients. So it's just, it's like gifts are dropping from the sky and coming out from the sides. The support is phenomenal.
Agreed.
So Marianne Pickard.
Hello.
I told you it was amazing.
The stories are amazing. Amazing.
We need a better word than that.
Well, when you're tongue-tied and impressed, that's what comes out.
What about you, my dear? You're going to present a different perspective here about saying yes and what that's like and letting go of the old.
Absolutely. And to say how in touch with the universe Allison is, she picked up on me like a little antenna. I had first come from a background of 20 years of clinical depression, lots of antidepressants, was told I'd never get off them. My brain needed that. And I heard about an energy healer, and I didn't even know what that was, as old school as I am. And I called this person and said, well, look, I feel like there's this dark cloud over my head. And she said to me, well, you put it there. You create your own. You create your own. And I took that as, man, I'm doing this wrong. And I felt even worse because she didn't understand that I didn't know anything about what she was saying.
a few days later, Allison comes to my workplace and finds me, not knowing that I had put that out there. And shortly thereafter, we started working together in her energy healing. That was, what, a couple years ago, Allison?
Yeah, it was within the first couple of months of my being back here, and I've been back for almost 2.5. And I was following, I went to a place that was a strip mall down from where Marianne is talking about, and I thought I was driving home, but I knew I wasn't yet going all the way home. And so my car, go there. And I just went there at that strip mall. And then I went into the chiropractor's office she was working for. I had no contact before, no idea of who this person was, the chiropractor she was working with. And just went in there, and that was, and I was like totally following an antenna. It was like beaming, go there.
And I was so skeptical. I had no clue what any of this was about, but I wanted something more than being drugged and zoned and robotic and just walking through the steps of your life. There had to be something else. So we started working together, and stripping away those layers of heavy, dead, whatever was holding me back. And I no longer take any antidepressants. But the best part is,
yes,
I became an artist. And my very first memory as a child looking at a picture was of an artist. But I never put myself in that role. I didn't know that's what I was.
And you were a home ec teacher, were you not, for a couple of years back there?
So measure, you know, follow the rules, make everything perfect. And I'd always been attracted to fabrics and fibers, and through all my miserable jobs, I always gravitated toward fabrics and fibers as therapy. And I thought, well, this is my therapy. Little did I know I was collecting a body of work to use as an artist. And when I let go, that things just poured out of me. Combinations of fabrics and colors and bright light, things that I make that come from nowhere, that come from just my being. There's no measurement. There's no guide. It just flows. So now I can share the bright lightness that I see in my life with other people through my art. It's amazing.
You know, another part of this, Marianne, what about the that you were selling table runners, the textiles that you had made before, and they had no element of the metaphysical. You want to talk about that part?
I was doing, you know, safe little crafty, as long as it was practical and useful and neutral, you know, I was going along doing that, but it wasn't making me happy. It was just an outlet for something I needed to do. But this turned on a whole new light, and I look back at some of the fabrics and choices. Like, that was another place I lived in. That wasn't the brightness that I see now. So I see things very, very differently. And in fact, one night in a hot salt tub, I was sitting reading a Wayne Dyer book and saw Seven Faces of Intention as I read. And I immediately saw those faces on a piece of fabric that I hadn't pulled out of a box in 5 years. It was an incredible night. I went to that fabric, immediately made that wall hanging. It just flowed. It just all happened without any control on my part. So a huge, huge change.
Awakened Fibers is the name. What is awake now? You're talking about light, you're talking about brighter colors, but you also had a part of your background from growing up in Maine that was averse to any kind of organized religion. And now your fabrics have chakras on them, they have ohms on them, they have mandalas on them, they have imagery that's goddess-like on them, the Tree of Life from the Kabbalah. I mean, you're in the metaphysical world now, and you're inspiring other people with the meanings, because you're labeling, you're telling people like what they meant to you as you created them, and then people are like grabbing on to that.
Yeah, some reason people pick up on whatever energy I was feeling at the time and the level of chakra they might be working with in their own process. It is magical. Everything's one of a kind, and I don't intend anything when I'm done. I don't know what the measurement's going to be. I don't know what the shape or color is. It just happens.
So Joseph uses meditation and Qigong and breathwork, you were saying, Joseph?
Yeah, it's been a really important process. We initially started doing it with Miraja after practicing or doing acupuncture for about a year. And then we started doing Qigong as a way to further the healing process. And I found it to be just irreplaceable in my own meditation. It's something that really helps me get into that mindset, or allow myself to open to energy that's around, and it is definitely something that plays into every step of the way of you know, my creation and the things that I'm making. I have to say too, I relate very much to what was just said about the, you know, you don't know the measurement, you don't know the shape of it, you don't know what it's going to be, but if you just allow it to happen and just say yes to it, it comes into fruition. And the more you relax and the more you get into that space and allow it, the easier it is. That's the funny part.
I know.
If you try and fight it, it'll take 5 hours. But if you just go with it, you'll be done in, you know, an hour. It's remarkable.
It's kind of like taking out the element of the mind in the forcing or the figuring stuff out or making stuff happen. When you say allow, that's how I hear it. Just allowing for the mind to step back and this greater opening and connection to then burst forward with the inspiration, whether it's within us or it's connected to our higher self or our divinity or whatever it is. I mean, it's just like allowing for a floodgate to open that the mind seems to keep a lid on if we're not saying yes. Would you guys agree with that?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So Miriam, what is it like for you? Because you can, you articulate this quite well about that mechanism of the fear and the keeping the lid on control from the mind and not allowing. Can you talk about the difference?
Well, like Joseph said, meditation is really important. And clearing those chakras, feeling each of those sensations, trusting to open up, to feel what you need to feel to do this kind of work. And he was absolutely right. If it's not working at that moment, you're pushing or you're not letting something through, and I'll put something down and come back to it later, and something will just pop up and it works again. It's like, oh, that's the way it was meant to be. It makes a huge difference. And I had my own woodpecker story. Remember when we first started working together? And you were sending books home to read, and I was, you know, gobbling up anything I could that you'd recommended. I was just couldn't get enough of it. And I was in my backyard reading, and I live in the city, and I had two different species of woodpecker come within my sight of range while I was reading that book. So you can't help but see these signs now that you know what to look for and what to feel.
And then as we interact more, let me back up. Miriam, then didn't you, like, within that same time of seeing the woodpecker, see a van?
I'm sorry, see a what?
Something with my name on it, like right around that same time.
Yes, I left the session with you, and I felt so incredibly light after that session. I saw a huge rainbow, and I was really taking it in, you know, making the most of that moment, and a van passed right by my driver's door with the word Allison across it. And I took a picture and sent it to her.
It's mind-blowing.
What is happening? What is this?
So, Miraja, what's the story you have that's like that? Because God knows you have lots of those kinds of things. Bring it on.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that I literally every day there's some kind of experience that happens. And, you know, I like to touch on something that keeps coming up too is like, you know, I'm a firm believer in the universe wants to communicate with you and it's going to communicate in any way that you're going to recognize.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have friends who are, you know, very strong in a Christian faith. So they get, when they're paying attention, they get all of these symbols from it. And I pay attention to nature. I tend to notice what's going around me in nature. And, you know, if I'm open to it, I get all of these amazing omens, these amazing signs, and even lessons. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I actually, coming from the background that I came from, I was having difficulty with this concept of God or the universe or whatever. And do you know that an aunt is actually what helped me to come to terms with that?
I'm not surprised. Aunts are amazing.
And it's just one of those things. It's been an amazing process, and I literally cannot say enough about it, and I'm so grateful. There's really not, there's so many stories that are coming to mind, and there's so much that's happened, and I just don't even know where to go with it without being, like, a specific topic.
Just pick one.
Hmm.
Is there one, Joseph, that you can think of that might help her?
Specifically relating to,
To synchronicities that you guys have experienced that we were like what we were talking about on Saturday.
Actually, I think I have one. It's kind of profound because it's actually what helped me get to a point of wanting to even express my connection with the goddesses.
Yes.
And I have a lot of vivid dreams, let's say, and I've come to a point where I understand, like, if I'm having a dream that's, you know, something about my future, something helping with my past, or something that's very pertinent, let's put it that way. So I had this dream where I go into this rectangle building, it's very modernist, and I'm walking through and there's these partitions, and it has on the partitions like stones, and then it has like Bronze Age, Gold Age, like all these different tools and all these different things that are there. And I'm walking this straight path and I'm just observing them. And at the end of the path, I come to a point where I can only turn right. And so I decide that I'm going to go and I'm going to make this right turn. And as soon as I turn, I'm in this room that's not very big, but it's, you know, it's almost like an Egyptian temple inside. It's all stone. And there's this little setup where it's my brain can't comprehend the dimension it's in because it almost looks two-dimensional to me. That's how I perceive it. But it's actually more than two dimensions. It's more than three dimensions. But the way I'm seeing it is two. And it's a carving of this figure that I understood as Isis. And she was in this very Thai position. Even her clothing looked more Thai than Egyptian.
Yep.
And she had these large eyes. Yep. And I stood up there very close to this engraving, as it seemed to me. But there was this little border that was separating us, almost like a veil. And I look at it, and the figure moves. And her face even starts morphing, and she walks down to meet me, but there's still this veil that's separating us. And, you know, we begin to have this conversation, and she's, you know, basically, you know, helping me understand that, you know, part of my next step is to help others, and that, you know, I have a choice of whether I want to accept it or not. And I do accept this choice of helping others, and I go to open up the door. And I open up the door, and it's back to a modern setting. I come out, and
wow.
every everybody has, there's people sitting outside and they have lines on their face as like directionals almost. So some are pointing right, left, up, down, and they're different colors. And
wow.
It's all on their face.
Fun.
So I come out and, you know, when I come out, my body is like glistening, has like this luminescence. So I'm just like taking it all in. I'm, you know, I'm here for the ride. So I turn right again and I go down and there's three people waiting for me. And two people, the one I was currently working with, and then the other person I have seen, and the third person I had never met or seen at that time. And basically what they said is that they were there and they were going to help me get to the next levels that I needed to be to continue my purpose. And, you know, I was like, thank you. And the dream ended. And what's really fascinating about it is, like I said, the first person I was currently working with, it was my acupuncturist at the time, and she was helping me get to a point that I needed to be. The second person I had met, but I hadn't begun working with, and I was considering. So I took that as a, you know, a go. Go ahead and, you know, connect with this person. And then the third person I had never met, and I didn't officially meet until a year later. And she's actually the person who has helped me with this Qigong and has helped me move forward in that aspect in a spiritual healing and a physical healing as well. So it's one of those things that, you know, it was a dream, but it was so much more than that. And I take from that, you know, of the signs that come with it and the knowledge that if I trust in it, if I just, you know, even though I can't maybe make sense of it at the time, like I said, I didn't meet the other woman until a year later. But if I just acknowledge it, if I just acknowledge it and I say yes to that possibility, you know, I can move forward. And that was the beginning for me in that aspect, because that actually got me to a point where I had started doing research about Isis, and I thought maybe I should incorporate something from her within my life. And everything I looked at as an artistic form looked very angry to me. And I was like, I know she's powerful, but I don't think she's, you know, she's upset.
Yeah.
And so that actually got me to a point where I actually did my first goddess painting. And, you know, even in that aspect of surrender, that surrendering to that, because it went against the grain of what I had always been taught. It was such an emotional healing. It healed so many parts of me, emotionally and physically. I don't even know if I fully comprehend even at this point in my life how much it actually helped me. But it's just been an amazing journey.
There's that word again, amazing. I wonder if it's just the nature of the times we're living in. I was, and we just led to use amazing. Miraja?
Yes?
I have been working with the goddess Isis primarily for a good 5 solid years, on and off for 20, but for the last 5 years. So that, the Ibis, in particular, the last 2 years since I've been back here, the Ibis has shown up, and that was her bird. And it's another connection for us with the goddess energy. She blew my mind with that blue tarot goddess, you guys, this weekend. And I teach goddess workshops in Enchanted Earth in Dunedin. Hi, Kim and y'all there. So I work with the goddess energy. I meditate with it every day. I call it in before I dream. I go into dream time at night. It's just beautiful, the synchronicity of that being your awakening to the first goddess painting, and it's Isis, who is deeply personal to me, and then it's very much aligned with Sunday's energy when you whipped out that phone with your blue Tara painting, and I recognized her as me. I mean, wow. And I'm not looking for it. That's the thing. I'm not trying to put myself in there. It just, you saw my reaction. I couldn't deny it. It was in the wand is the exact same, or the sword is the exact same as what Joseph created, and he handed it to me. And it's just brilliant. So I want to talk a bit about choice. How do you guys see that choice is connected to how much we experience the synchronicities?
I can butt in if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I definitely think, you know, that a lot of groups and religions and belief systems have always acknowledged that love is very, very powerful. Love is like the most powerful thing in the universe. And one of the second things that they always typically highlight is this idea of free will. So there's the choice. And
yeah,
I really feel that we all have the choice to do exactly what we want to do in this life. We can choose to be successful. We can choose to fail. We can choose to have love. We can choose to push it away. There's just so much choice and so many options for us. And I would like to encourage, you know, everybody just to put themselves out there and choose to pay attention just a little bit more to something different. Pay attention to, you know, that woodpecker that shows up on your windowsill, or pay attention to, you know, the lizard that's staring at you, you know, out in the garden, and go sit out there with it and just relax for a little bit. Choose to give yourself that time and choose to, you know, allow yourself that space for some type of connection. Because the universe wants to connect with everyone. And now you can easily replace the word universe with, you know, higher power or God. It's there. It's very present. And as long as you pay attention to it, it'll show you things. It will give you things. And all those things are – now we're in a time where they can benefit so many people. And I think people are actually willing to listen and willing to, you know, give you a little bit of their time, and you may be able to change their perception and help them grow in some way. So, yeah, choice is very powerful.
Marianne, what do you have to say about choice? You have a pretty interesting dance with choice.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe I felt years ago that, well, if I was meant to be an artist, I'd be an artist. It would just happen, and that didn't happen over 50 years. You have to make that choice. You have to say, yes, I'm agreeing to this co-creation. I'm going to take an active role in it, just not waiting for something to fall on your head and go, here's what I meant to do. You have to actively, and like Joseph said, create an opening and a space for that to happen.
So what is it like, if we're not doing that, if we're not creating the space for that to happen, what kind of mind are we in, Marianne, if you don't mind, or Joseph and Raja, if anybody feels compelled to be the one answering that, what kind of mind are we in if we're not allowing for the openings?
Dark and dense, and nothing gets through. I mean, I've been there. Nothing gets through if you set that up.
And I like to add something, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, from my personal experience too, you know, if you're denying yourself or denying your true path or denying, you know, these choices that are in front of you, a lot of times what happens is you have a crisis. Some kind of crisis comes up, whether it's health or, you know, things in your life seem to just suddenly fall apart or what have you, you know. If you're in that position, you know, the universe or God or what have you is wants you to be happy, you know, and some people don't need to have a complete surrender, like from everything falling apart. You know, they can just surrender from, you know, just opening up and being like letting go in that way. And, you know, I can say that from my aspect, I had this crisis with health and things fell apart in that aspect, and that allowed me to rebuild and to be more open. And those were my choices. I could have chosen to keep holding on to what I had and to keep going down that path, or I had a choice of I can move forward with this and I can actually build from this place.
That was so perfectly put. Thank you so much, because I talk about that in so many different ways with using so many different languages, from Buddhism, from meditation, from access consciousness. All of it is just what you just said, the actuality of you can choose or not. The ego mind is one way to put it. The mind is another way to put it. When we live life closed down and we don't allow ourselves to to see beyond what our mind is telling us is there. It's actually a mechanism of staying in fear and staying closed down. And then, as you put so eloquently and perfectly, Miraja, crisis is the only thing that's going to work. Eckhart Tolle says to wake a person up to something bigger than their mind and what their mind tells them is here. Work, food, family, fix that, buy that, repair that, go there, obligation here, and robotically go about one's life. And that's the whole nature and of my message of the work I'm doing, is that there's so much more aliveness to be had that just, you know, here's some of it.
Even in a single moment, there's much more to be had, because you miss way too many moments when you don't live in them.
And in the face of one of my clients just passing last night, yes. I mean, looking up at that still nearly full moon, as I had just received the news, 1 hour apart from each other, that he had gone into hospice, because I was meant to go to our session today, and an hour later that he had passed. And just thinking about, you know, the choices that we make in each moment, and it is indeed creating what we're experiencing. It's not that we're victims to a punishing God or outside reality. It's choice, and it is where our power sits. And it's Access Consciousness says, Blossom Benedict of Access Consciousness says that choice is often frequently underrated. So with that, I am in deep gratitude. My hands are in namaste prayer position to the three of you for blessing the listeners with your stories and gracing me with your time and your beings. How did I get so lucky?
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So 1 second, though. Mirages, you're welcome, y'all. Mirages and Joseph's information, if you want to check out the wands of selenite or the goddess paintings and the other paintings that Miraja has, their websites are listed at the bottom of the show description. You can just click there. Marianne, to see her stuff, either you're local to St. Pete, she's going to be at the Ybor Saturday Market next Saturday, but then she's also, look for her stuff, Marianne Pickard, on Etsy. Marianne, and it's called what, please?
Awakened Fibers.
We are in a time of awakening. Blessings, y'all.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever, featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today.